Welcome to Radio Freak America 13. I'm Dual Parallel. I'm joined by my favorite Mary Chan in the studio.
Hey, all.
Hey, all. And I'm also joined, and I'm so thankful, by Condor and Rax. Gentlemen?
Oh, hey.
Hello.
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 Okay, that was a very funny first segment, I must admit. But I want to talk about something first. Today, May 21st, we record basically on Tuesday and we stream on Wednesday, but today, on the 21st, the Librarian of Congress, based on the recommendation of the Register of Copyrights, issued an order rejecting CARP's determination for proposing rates and terms for licenses, that is, playing music on Internet radio stations. Now, don't get too excited, folks. You can get all this, by the way, at copyright.gov, but like I said, don't get too excited, because June 20th, the librarian will have to make a final decision. And, of course, the RIAA and, Internet radio stations are arguing about how much, licensing fees are going to have to pay for playing songs on the Internet.
The interesting thing was the Internet radio stations were saying it was too much, and the RIAA was saying, well, that's really not enough.
Right, it's way too little. But, of course, it's too little for us, but it'll put all of you underneath, and then we can take control of the whole Internet radio market.
Insert evil laughter here.
That's right. Evil laughter would be inserted right here. So that's the first thing I wanted to get out.
But as Duel was saying, folks don't sit back there and think it's done, it's over with. All the activism stuff, writing your congressman, expressing your feelings, all that still needs to be done. Go to saveinternetradio.org and get the information there, or as Duel said, you can go right to the copyright office. But don't just sit back and say, hey, we won. That kind of complacency is what gets things lost.
Yeah, this is good news, but it's not so good news, because there's still a month to go. And that's a great point, Rax. Write to Congressman, do what you can. Back to the recording. You all heard it. that was fun. It was probably kind of weird. I think if you told that, other than our audience, I think most people would think that I'm pretty strange.
Well, hey, we know you're pretty strange.
Okay.
Don't hold it against you, though.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But like I said, it was a lot of fun. And you know what? It was very, like I said, all I did was put on a specific shirt, a specific pair of pants, and I was an insider instantly. I could barely contain myself. Otherwise, I would have maybe tried, a little farther. Maybe I could have tried to, integrate into the Target cabal and converse with employees a little more. I'm not wacko.
No, I had the same kind of thing happen to me.
No way.
A couple of times at Fry's Electronics.
Uh-huh.
And first time was actually really funny, because I'm just, dressed regular, and I'm in there, and some guy says, hey, do you know where this is? I said, I'm sorry, I don't work here. He says, yeah, but you look like you know where stuff is anyway. And I was. But the second time, I didn't even think about it. I was coming back from a client. I happened to be dressed in a white dress shirt and a tie and black pants. Well, duh, and I went into Fry's, and it's like, that's the uniform for all the employees in Fry's. And, again, same kind of deal. People think you belong there. There's enough people, especially at places like that, there's enough new people all the time that, you could just be the new kid on the block, or the, sort of bad reference there. But anyway, you could be the new employee of the day and just kind of walk around like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Once I was at the store, and somebody said, hey, do you work here? And I realized this is the store I was working in, and I was on the clock, so I helped him out. Yeah, it's a really relevant story.
So they asked if you worked there, and you actually did, yeah. Well, Rex,
that name badge really helped.
Yeah. Well, I had a name badge, but I never had to use it. Now, and Fry's, I mean, their uniform, the black slacks, the white dress shirt, and a tie, that is just so common. I mean, I can't imagine how many times that happens to, probably businessmen even.
Right.
Now, Condor, has anything like that ever happened to you?
Nope.
No, never. Now, have you ever asked somebody that was an employee if they were, did you ask for help for somebody, and they say, oh, hey, punk, I'm not I'm not an employee?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Nope.
At Fry's?
I was in Ben Racks, I don't know.
Yeah, before you guys knew each other.
It was right when I was getting into Linux. I asked, what's the difference between Mandrake and Red Hat? And
what was the answer?
Huh?
What was their answer?
Well, I don't work here. I don't know. I guess they're by different companies.
Oh.
Very good. It's not Windows. But let's talk about the bigger security implications. I mean, I was essentially an insider. I didn't take advantage of it, but I would have had authorized access up to some point. Up to some point where, point of detection where it would be abnormal for a regular Joe employee to be doing whatever I chose to do. Let's say cash register, maybe messing with a computer or server in the back.
Even have one?
I don't know. Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
Like a Pentium, just...
Yeah, they got a 486 running everything. Well, think about it. You know, I'm sure they got a break room. I bet they have a computer room. I'm sure they've got manager's offices. I know they have inventory in the back. And I guarantee I could have strolled around inventory. And, you know, if somebody came around, I could have just acted like I was picking something up. It was child's play.
And again, folks, this is like, social engineering 101. That's part of the thing is, you know, look like you belong. Act
yeah.
Belong. Walk around like you belong there.
That's right. Walk like a duck, act like a duck. It was easy and fun.
Well, the thing is, and if you do something along the lines of, say, going to the bathroom, back room, and you get caught, you know, it's very simple. Oh, I'm sorry, I was looking for the bathroom. Got lost. My bad, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then as long as they don't catch you, you know, hacking into the computer or whatever, you know, then usually they'll be like, oh, okay, shrug.
Oh, literally, there's infinite amount of excuses and stories anybody could use.
There's not much they can do.
Probably not. Probably not.
Remember, so, Mary Chen, use the right term, attacking computers, not hacking computers.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
People thinking the right way. The media is yet, you know, that's yet another way where the media is twisted.
Well, maybe it's not attacking, though. Maybe you're simply, like, opening some files, seeing what shipments are coming in that day. You're not going to, you know, disrupt or change
them.
Right. You're just looking. Maybe you'll jot them down in your notepad.
But think about it. Is that an attack? Let's say, Mary Chen, I do what you say, and I want to learn about Target's computer system, but I dress like an employee, act like an employee to learn about their system. Is that an attack?
Well, they could probably get you on trespassing charges.
And that's probably about it, because
we wanted the publicity.
I don't know how this adds to Target, but in the military, it's very big crime to actually, you know, impersonate.
Of course. Impersonating an officer, impersonating a police officer. I
don't know.
There's
probably
no
less than impersonating a Target part-time
person. I guarantee you there's no law, you know, impersonating a Walmart employee, putting on a blue vest. If I could get a blue vest, that is my goal, to get a blue vest.
Secondhand stores.
Secondhand stores?
Go check. I go there all the time.
So, folks, I don't suggest trying that out. Actually, you probably never would try it out, because that's a pretty stupid thing to do, and I would probably be the only person that would do it.
When's your next shift? When do you have to be back?
They call. They want to know if you can come and work on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. I'm taking a big pay cut. I hope I don't have to work Memorial Day. Okay. Now I got, you know what? I got a big, I don't know what's going on. Something strange must be going on. I don't know if it's the economy. If I thought telcos were having hard times, maybe that's why, or maybe they're on the upswing. I don't know. But there's been a lot of changes, a lot of new things in the telco industry, a lot of new plans, a lot of new pricing, and I think it's relevant to all you hackers and freaks out there. Plus, it opens up a lot of exploration. First, Cricket, they have raised their unlimited access rates $3 from $29.99 to $32.99. I know that's not that big a deal, but...
it is for me. I'm on Cricket.
Oh, you're a Cricket user. Well, guess what? You're going to be paying more money.
See, that's a typical kind of maneuver. You go in, you lowball something, you know, you get a lot of customers, and then you bump up the rates. That's what AOL did, right? They just kind of slowly kept creeping up the rates.
Actually, yeah. I'm considering leaving Cricket simply because the phone doesn't work where I live, so...
Here's the deal. I've got some rumor and innuendo about Cricket's operating procedures, but rumor has it that that's what Cricket does. They go into a market, they undercut everybody, and they actually make more money on new customers subscribing, so they don't really care if someone has bad service and they leave. They make more money when someone subscribes than on a monthly basis. And then, also the other rumor and innuendo about them is that when their circuits get busy, they just, you know, randomly dump lines rather than expanding things out, you know, which costs money. They just randomly start dumping lines.
Yes, prices are so cheap.
Right. I don't doubt that in the least. Now, so you say Cricket does not work where you live.
Right.
Okay, so I've also heard this, that, okay, great, you get unlimited calling in this metropolitan area, but it's actually very small, and the coverage sometimes isn't that good. Next, Singular with a C. The check this out. Singular, who
with
is the
C.
Yeah, with the C. Who is the exclusive telecommunications sponsor of Spider-Man the movie? What the hell is that about?
But no, not that one. The one with the little person.
Yeah, the little orange blob.
Yeah.
Yes,
no, but they are. Go to their website, and it says, and they pimp Spider-Man the movie all over their website. They got like these web-colored phones, you know. They are the exclusive telecommunications sponsor of Spider-Man the movie. What the hell is that about?
It means Peter Parker uses singular, and so should you.
Whatever. Well, you know what? We're the official...
Dude, go to their website. I'm going to enter this, man. A Spider-Man painted up Dodge Viper.
Okay, I would take that.
Right.
But did you know that we are the official Hacker Freak Technology Privacy Knowledge Free Radio Show for Spider-Man the movie? I bet you didn't know that. So they've got a new nationwide. They've got a few new nationwide plans. They have no roaming nationwide service now for lump sums of change. Let's see, starting at $29.99, you get 250 minutes. Then it goes up to $50 for 500 minutes, $100 for 1,200 minutes, and they tack on, which I never really got this. Well, I guess I do get it. It's a low bandwidth time. They tack on 3,500 bonus night and weekend minutes. But I got a question, and I didn't see it on the site, and I haven't looked into it. Are these 3,500 minutes, night and weekends, are they nationwide also, or is it just in your local calling area? Can you roam with those? I don't know. They don't say. I bet it's not. I bet you they're jerking you around. You think you can, you know, go to Atlantic City and use your 3,500 minutes, and then you're charged 50 cents a minute.
Bait and switch going.
Big time. Maybe I'm just a pessimist. Next, and I just can't believe all these, and they're all real recent too. Quest, my beloved telco, they've got a new package called Popular Choice, and what it is, it actually sounds like a pretty good deal. You get a residential line, a home phone line, and 10 features.
Including voicemail.
That's right, including voicemail, security screen. So you get a residential line, 10 packages, 10 features, all for $34.95 a month. That actually sounds pretty good. But wait a second. You know, I just signed up. I do a lot of three-way calling, you know, with you guys, the show, on my own. So I said, wait a minute. I'm paying 75 cents a pop. Maybe I can get some, maybe I can get the three-way calling feature on my phone line, save some jack. Okay, so I check it out. I call them. It's like $3 a month, I think. But there's a one-time $8.50 activation fee. That is unfreaking believable. Considering I can get 10 features plus a phone line, $34.95 a month, and no activation fee, how is that possible? How can they activate 10 features on a phone line with no activation fee, but it costs almost $10 for one stinking feature?
You know, it's called they can do whatever the hell they want because it's an unregulated service.
Yeah, and all right, and I guess it's pretty obvious. It is unregulated, and it's very obvious. I'm going to be paying them $35 a month. You know, that's definitely going to outweigh the one-time fee of $8.50. Okay, fine.
But isn't three-way calling part of the package?
It is part of the package. You can get anything. You can choose. That's what's called popular choice. You can choose the 10 packages you want. Now, I'm telling all you listeners about this because, you know, this is going to open up new things to you. There's new things for you to explore, maybe even save you some bucks. But definitely check all these out. The last, I actually heard a commercial for this on the radio. This is an AT&T plan, and it's called the AT&T Unlimited plan. And what this is, and I'm sure you've heard of similar plans, it's unlimited long distance for $19.95 a month, but it's only to other AT&T subscribers. And another caveat, you must have AT&T as your local toll carrier. So you meet those two things, and you get unlimited long distance for $19.95 a month.
So you got anything bad voice stream? And I'm just saying that just because I cannot stand those Jamie Lee Curtis commercials.
I think Jamie Lee Curtis is pretty hot.
She is
for her age.
She has bad commercials. Those
okay,
are not good commercials.
I agree. Now, Rats, you have voice stream, correct?
Yeah, I got voice stream. And, you know, Jamie Lee's hot and everything, but that's not why I got it. I got it for the technology, the GSM behind it. First of all, I mean, it's at a different frequency, but that's the Europe and Asia is primarily GSM. It's just in the U.S. we're backwards because we had so many cell towers and everything else so long that all the incumbent companies didn't want to go to the new stuff. But, I mean, it is... it's a superior technology, not only in the multiplexing of the data out, You know, it's basically a soft modem. I can hook it up directly to my laptop, or I can go infrared from my Palm 505 and use it as a modem. Plus, you just transfer the little smart chip out of there, you know, pop into another phone, and you're good to go. So I got it for the technology behind it.
Liar, you got it for Jamie Lee Curtis.
So that was just a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the SIM cards.
Came over to my house. We had dinner. It was nice.
She's a nice lady. So this AT&T plan, now, so every time you know you're getting the unlimited calling, there'll be a after the AT&T, you'll get a special tone, and that tells you you're getting this great deal. It actually is a good deal, but to have everybody you call be on the AT&T plan, you know, it's not going to happen.
MCI tried it with friends and family years ago, and that just basically ticked everyone off, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't think I would do it just for that fact. There is a bonus, though. Otherwise, it's 7 cents a minute, but you're still paying $20 a month. Right now, I'm paying, AT&T is my carrier, and I'm paying, how much a month? I'm paying like $4 a month, $3.95 a month, and then I get 7 cents a minute. I think I'm saving a lot more because I guarantee most people I call are not AT&T.
Pay $3.95 a minute, $3.95 a month for IDT, and then 5 cents a minute billed in 6 cent increments.
Wow, that's actually really good.
Yep, both U.S. and Canada, so it's awesome.
IDT?
IDT.
Oh, man. Hold on. Where's my pen? I need to write that down. Okay. So there's a few calling plans, folks. There's a lot of changes in the telco industry, and it's going to leave a lot of things open. I mean, it's going to leave a lot of new things to explore and maybe even save you some jack. So, I got one more piece of telco news. Actually, this is a technology. Everybody, of course, has heard of 911. I'm not talking about the terrorist tragedy. 911, get emergency service. You've all heard about E911. There was a recent article in 2600 about E911. But have you ever heard of reverse 911?
119?
No. That's dyslexic 911. No, this is reverse 911, listeners. Yeah, this technology, I believe it's called GeoNotify, and it's from a company called Dialogic. You can find them at www.dccusa.com. Yes, Mary Chan?
Yeah, I was just trying not to pause so much.
I can pause if I want to. That was dramatic. I like to pause. It's a dramatic pause. So, GeoNotify by Dialogic, www.dccusa.com. And what it is, it's basically a GIS system, geographic information system, and it maps whatever city this technology is used in, reverse 911 is used in, the whole city is mapped. And there's a huge, giant SQL database of all the addresses, phone numbers, and everything. So when an emergency happens, when a tragedy occurs, 911, the 911 center, the Emergency Call Operation Center, can basically, you know, draw a big radius on the map, like here's the affected area, you know, like a chlorine tank exploded or something. So they've got a wind plume model, and then they can draw a radius, you know, a big circle on the map, and from that call every number in that affected area and let them know, hey, there's an emergency, stay in your home, don't go outside, you know, drink lots of water. And it's pretty amazing technology. Think about it. They've got an entire city in a database. They can use, and they can actually use that. They can actually have wind plume models for like chemical dispersals. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read you a little piece about GeoNotify. GeoNotify combines digital street level maps with automated notification technology, enabling emergency management to quickly identify specific geographic areas at risk and deliver information and instructions to residents, businesses, and institutions at the touch of a button. Actually, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Built on ESRI's, don't know who that is, Map Objects technology, GeoNotify can create a map with geographic data from commercial sources or a community's own data and perform spatial queries at a rate of 30,000 names, addresses, and phone numbers per minute. Now, what is that? That's a query. Yes, that's a query. Allowing for pinpoint accuracy and efficiency, the system can prioritize the order of calls by distance, nearest or farthest first, and can provide directional calling when hazardous material is carried by the wind. Yes, they can basically run wind plume models and determine where the chemicals are going to go and call all those people in the path of this tragedy.
That's incredible.
It is. The data, it's also scary, I think. The data is then used by Reciprix, I don't know who that is, to launch first warnings within 30 to 60 seconds of event detection. So, think about it. Is Big Brother looking out for you or looking at you? I wonder. I'm going to read, go to DCCUSA.com, please. They do some amazing things.
I hope I'm not the only one to notice that this could be attacked, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, think about it. Just a DOS on this system, I mean, I'm sure it has to be very secure, just like 911 is very secure. But, yeah, if there was an attack on this, you know.
Imagine if a telemarketing company got a hold of that.
Oh, man.
It fell into the wrong hands.
That's right. That would be the worst attack on all of us. Oh, funny you mentioned that, too. We're going to make a couple of phone calls regarding that. You know what? I'm going to read a little bit about Dialogic. Let's see. They've been around since 82.
They're big in telephony. They made the first voicemail type lines that you could buy individually and all that other stuff.
Oh yeah, they do a lot with military. Like I said, they've been around since 82. They're in 22 countries. Oh, 22 countries have integrated DCC's notification and response solutions into their emergency and corporate communications networks. Yeah, so they're big. Their phone number, if you're interested, is 800-723-3207. And again, their website, www.dccusa.com, and that's reverse 911.
Dude, you know, you just sounded like an infomercial.
Well,
within the next 5 minutes.
Well, I think you hit on a key point, and that's information. I'm giving that to my listeners. I think they need to know this kind of stuff. You need to know what they can do, what kind of information they have. I'd like to see it. I bet you they have detailed maps, probably, USGS maps, satellite images, and they can query, they can do whatever they want. Think, you know what? Let's tie the first segment and this segment together. What if there's an insider in there? They could do whatever they want. It's scary. Or it's helpful to our community. So that's Telco News, folks. Little technology to boot.
Yay.
You guys, you've been to 2600.com? You've seen how many days since... Or until H2K2. I looked last night, and there were negative 11,829 days until H2K2.
And for those people on this planet, there's like 51 days.
I'm serious. In my on my browser, Conqueror 3.0, it said minus 11,829 days until H2K2. Actually, it happened to me before, and it was...
So I think you missed it by a couple of years there.
I know, exactly.
I'm sorry.
I'm in a time warp, but...
There's always next decade.
It's got to be some JavaScript error or something. I haven't looked into it, but I thought that was rather humorous.
I looked at it from my Conqueror browser, which is 2.2.2, and that whole little countdown thing, it just omitted it altogether, so...
Really? Well, do you have JavaScript enabled?
What are you running?
It's on FreeBSD 4.5.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Oh boy.
It's not enabled by default though. You have to enable JavaScript.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had it going.
Okay. Hey, aren't you reading Richard Stallman's book, Rex?
Yeah, Free as in Freedom. And this is very cool. I mean, Stallman's an icon. It goes through the whole the whole genesis of things and the GNU project and about chapter 5, but the cool thing is, much in keeping with the whole GNU project, it's available free online. And I mean, you can buy the book in any bookstore, or, Amazon or whatever. But on O'Reilly's website, that's O'Reilly.com/openbook. There's about 20 books in there: Cathedral of the Bizarre, CGI Programming and the World Wide Web, Free as in Freedom, which is Stallman's book, The Future Does Not Compute, Learning Debian GNU Linux, Linux Device Drivers, MySQL Reference Manual. I mean, there's just tons of these free books that are available, but. And so O'Reilly.com/openbook, singular, and there's a ton of books there. The only thing is, I find, I'm laying there with the laptop and get the wireless network thing going, and I'm laying there trying to read it, and it's just not quite as comfortable as a book.
No, I like to have that book in my hand. Bruce Sterling released the Hacker Crackdown, basically his open source book. You can get it on the internet, but I bought it because just for that fact. I want to be able to, sit on the can and read it. By the way, folks, read the book. Just read the first two parts. The last two about the law enforcement suck. What, Maria?
I just think it's good you guys are enforcing books. And, I mean, books are better than computers in certain senses. Lighter, you can take them anywhere. Or cars, no batteries or extension cord, you know?
That's right.
Read.
I have the O'Reilly catalog. I subscribed. Well, you don't have to pay for it. It's free. They talk about Safari, which is like a book, an online trading kind of thing. Kind of weird. And also there's a book called Open Sources. It's kind of ironic that O'Reilly is publishing this, because Tim O'Reilly, the person who has founded it, is one of the subjects of the book. And I guess he's mentioned as open source because he kind of is releasing those open books. So I guess that's open source.
Well, I mean, O'Reilly's done a lot of interesting things as well. There was something probably 3 or 4 years ago that I guess Tim O'Reilly himself sat down and he kind of analyzed the way Windows NT 4.0 booted up. And make a long story short, anyway, he figured out basically how to change some configuration switches and some boot options on NT4 workstation and make it be NT4 server. And he did it to prove the point that it was technically feasible and that there really wasn't a difference. So, you know, Microsoft putting the 10, when you kind of set up a work group type environment or peer-to-peer networking environment with no centralized server, with NT workstation or Windows XP or Windows 2000, whatever you want to call it, it only allows for 10 IP addresses connecting to it. So if you have like a printer that you're sharing in your NT workstation, only 10 people can connect to it. The 11th person can't. But that's an artificial limit built in by Microsoft because, again, by changing boot time configuration switches and that, it comes up. I mean, it even says everywhere it says it's Windows NT Server and all that. And O'Reilly originally published it. Microsoft threatened him. So he published all of the other stuff without the actual specific details on how to do it. But the fact that it was a very true and existing type of thing. So O'Reilly as a company is a very progressive type of company.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, the other cool thing they do, you know, they always put the animals on the front of the covers and made the books, and like the Pearl book is known as the camel book because there's a camel on the front. But, you know, it's always for endangered species and everything else that they're doing. So they're also trying to, you know, increase awareness too, which is very cool.
Are camels an endangered species?
There was a certain breed of camel that's on the front of that book.
I thought it was a llama.
Because I'm seeing a horse here.
Well, there's different things in every book, so.
Yeah.
Save the horses!
Save the pigeons! Yeah, they're really good books, and you can always find the latest technology in their books first.
You're right, because they do seem like endangered species.
What?
Yeah, they are. They're definitely endangered species, and if you go click on it, or, you know, you actually look inside one of the books, they have a little thing near the front that has, like, a paragraph about the particular animal on the cover.
Yeah, Raxon, didn't I hear, and this is for you, Condor, didn't I hear a free book, Debian GNU Linux?
It's an old version of Debian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Debian GNU Linux. There's also Linux Device Driver 2nd Edition.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
You can talk about that book you bought.
Yeah, I dropped 50 bones on Linux socket programming. Very good book. But man, it was expensive. I think it was worth it, though.
You could pretend you work there and get a...
Yeah, I actually have. Wait a minute, I'm going to get it. Hold on. Talk.
Like I said, he we went to the bookstore to buy that, and, you know, you could be like, yeah, I work here. I get a discount. It's 50
okay.
bucks.
Okay, all right, Mary Chan, I want you to tell the listeners what I'm holding in my hand.
Assistant manager at Bookstar, and that'd be wonderful, but Bookstar
right.
closed down, so I'm here.
Oh, damn.
Well, Barnes & Noble, they still have a lot of storefronts.
There you go. Yeah, I'll cover it up.
Well, that's just the thing, which is Barnes & Noble opened really near there, and they're associated with Bookstar, so they're like,
right.
We don't need this anymore.
It's the same company,
yeah. Closed down Bookstar.
Well, I got a name tag for them now.
Okay. Hey, Rax, wait a second. I've just found something. The Mac OS X programming, Coca applications, there's a dog on it.
A dog.
Oh, well.
Save the dog.
Save dog.
Save the dog.
Check it out.
There's a Wicked on Real Basic, and there's a Carbon book, and it has a dog.
No, check it out, man. There's some story behind it.
What kind of dog is it?
Dog is extinct, or near extinct.
Check it out. I guarantee there's some story behind it.
And you know what? On Palm OS programming,
there's a flying squirrel.
There's a pigeon.
Oh, I've got that one. There's Palm, the David Pope Palm book. There's a flying squirrel on the cover.
Yes, there is.
Pigeons are flying rats.
There's a pigeon.
That's right. It's a flying rat. Now, speaking of animals, speaking of dogs, you know, I think Sony, I can't believe it, I think Sony has gained some enlightenment. I think Sony has woke up. I think they have realized, I think they've seen the error of their ways. Recently, they released OpenR, which is the development software for the AIBO. Actually, I think they're pimping that as their the whole open robotics development language.
That's what it stood for originally, and they were licensing that, but now they're making the SDK available.
Right, and just... and very recently, within the last week, they've started to release AIBO specifications on the internet. I think that's phenomenal, busting out hardware specs, you know, for everybody to check out on the web. Of course, Rack, this is, you know, particularly relevant to Rax, who owns, you own the first or second AIBO?
The second one, the 210, but they've also, a few other things, they've dropped the price on it.
They're $850 now, right?
Yeah, and there's like a $300 rebate, and they also have like the 210A and the 310A or something, which has the processor is about twice the speed of the original.
Now, are those the latte and mochaccino models or something like that?
No, they're the that's the 300 series. There's also a new one in the 300. It's like 31L. It kind of looks like a pug or a bulldog, but on the 200, 210 series and 220 series, they've doubled the processor speed.
I remember getting a conversation of some gentleman once, and he was going on and on about how, like, they were going to, like, make robots to be, like, you know, act like, you know, love slaves, you know, very, very expensive sex toys. But I'll come down this conversation about love doll Furbies or something. It disturbed me. I don't want to think of Furbies that way. I don't want to think of Furbies, period.
Eventually, robotics will reach that point, and some humans will probably really dig that. But
that's very Blade Runner-esque. That's what the
yes.
Anna character was a pleasure model android.
Yes, the Blade Runner state. Now, so listeners, I bet you're saying, Duel, you idiot, going to Target like a moron. Where's the enlightenment? What has Sony done? Well, you know what? They started releasing all this stuff in lieu of their history, and that includes basically shutting down an AIBO hack site. It was called AIBOPet.com, and actually, if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, Rax, the AIBO community is pretty tight-knit, and there was a great site all about hacking the AIBO and basically extending its usability and its capabilities, you know, probably beyond Sony's wildest dreams. And they used the DMCA to basically stamp them out. And there was a big uproar in the AIBO community. There were, you know, pictures of AIBOs being held hostage, you know, little blindfolds on the little dogs with people's feet right over them. And it was nasty. And I couldn't believe Sony did that. I mean, all these people that spent, you know, big jack. The first ones were a couple of grand, if I'm correct. And they were basically expressing, first they were being creative. Second, they're expressing their love for this wonderful technology that Sony created, and they're basically developing for Sony. I mean, how, you know...
It's free advertising.
Exactly. Free advertising, free development. And what do? They say, oh, DMCA, oh, that sounds pretty good. Let's crush this guy, you know? Well, finally, I guess they have. They've realized error in their ways, and they've released a lot of stuff, and I bet it's hopefully made the AIBO community a little more, basically a little more happy. You can now AIBO Pet has been reborn as AIBOHack.com. Definitely check that site out, even if you don't have the jack to drop on an AIBO. If you don't have the money to spend on it, at least check it out. Check out the technology. My favorite part on the site is the iCybe autopsy. Kind of morbid, but I like it.
How much did you spend on your AIBO, Rax?
What?
How much did you spend on it?
Like, all in total or just the AIBO?
Just the AIBO in general.
Well, talk about what you bought. I mean, what does it entail?
Okay, I've got the AIBO. I got the deluxe kit at the time. I ordered it, you know, as soon as it went up for sale. It was like, the AIBO itself was like $1,300. It was a deluxe kit. They didn't have the carrying case available, but it was the an extra battery, which is $90. The charging stand... that you can don't take the battery out of the AIBO and it can recharge you. Extra, it's like $150. I got got it comes with Hello Ivo software. I've got this other software. It's about 90. I mean, I bought a bunch of other stuff. I bought the wireless network card for it. I bought a bunch of other software. All totaled, I probably have about $3,000 tied up in it.
Yeah, but you can do some cool ass stuff with it.
Can you take it on locks?
That
the dog stand on the charger. Does it speed charge the?
No. It kind of looks like it's humping it when it's sitting on it.
It mounts.
That Ivo.
It mounts the charger.
Here's the other thing, though, is that Sony's coming out with it, probably, I guess, for Christmas. They didn't announce how much it's going to be, but the 20-inch-tall humanoid robot that has a 60,000-word vocabulary, all they'll say is it's the price of a luxury car.
Ooh.
So I don't think I'm going to be getting that one.
Probably not.
Love robots coming soon.
Maybe so. Hey, Condor, is this a good time for you to bug out?
No, I just want to say something real quick.
Please.
I have an ATIL Wonder card, and I wanted to support it because I had to do a Linux presentation in my class.
Okay.
So I was trying to find video for Linux support for my ATIL and Wonder. I went all over the internet, and I found GATOS, G-A-T-O-S. And I went on to ATI's website, and they said, hey, go to GATOS, all right?
Uh-huh.
They did not offer any support for Linux drivers. They gave you, they said, hey, you can go to x386.org or something like that. You can go to all these other places. We aren't offering support, though. Instead, we're going to help develop drivers for Windows.
Well, and they're bowing to the market pressures as well.
I was just going to say, they're in it for the jack. So, boy, jack is the word for money in this show, isn't it? So,
any money off the drivers. Oh, why don't you make the Windows people, if they're so cool and high and mighty, why don't you make them develop their own device drivers?
Because there's so many more millions and millions of Windows users as opposed to Unix kind of users that, they're going where the money goes.
That's right. And you know what? We do not know what kind of, face it, strong-arm tactics Microsoft uses on companies, on hardware manufacturers. Now, if I may, hold on one second.
By the way, Condor, I have the Palm programming book. The one that's on the front is a rock dove. This is the rock dove population's exploded. Many of the natural predators, such as falcons and hawks and owls, have decreased in numbers. Population increase is also being helped by humans who feed the birds. So they do have, on every book, they do have an explanation about the animal on the cover.
So what about the dog, though?
So no, I'm looking here. Practical C has a cow on the cover, so go figure that one out. Buy the book, and then let us know, folks.
Buy the book.
That's right. Now, if I may, when I had this computer, the computer I'm using now, I had it built with non-proprietary parts. I actually bought my own video card. I installed video in lieu of onboard video. And I went to a store looking at their video cards, and not real high-end ones, but I found a video card with a GeForce 2 chipset, and on the back, and this is what sold me, designed to WHQL compatibility standards. I'm going to read these. Windows XP, ME, blah, blah, all the way. Oh, you know what? I'm going to read this. Windows XP, ME, 2000, 98, 95, NT4, and Linux display drivers.
Yeah.
All the way down. It goes down a few. Complete Linux display and OpenGL driver support right on the box. The modem I bought, it was a Zircam or a Zoom modem, PCM, CIA modem for my laptop, stated right on the box, Linux driver support. So, you're right, Condor, NRAX, you're not going to find a lot of drivers for hardware, especially for Linux.
They developed it, though? Or did they have some other, give them a display card?
Now, see, I don't know, because actually I'm using SUSE 8, and it detected it automatically, and then I just used the SUSE U YAST online update, and it went out and got the NVIDIA drivers for it. So I don't.
There's a group that does this for free, and like NVIDIA said, here, have a card and make in trade for it, make a display driver.
Well, I don't know. I know there's a lot of independent people. I'm sure x386.org, you go to SourceForge, you can find stuff like that. I don't know if there's a specific group that writes video drivers for Linux.
No, I don't know. The only way would be to ask them. So.
Yeah. I'm assuming that the drivers are on the CD. Like I said, SUSE 8 found it automatically and, you know, installed the drivers for it, so I didn't even have to use the CD. But I'm sure, you know what, if you look hard enough, you can find hardware that'll work perfectly under Linux. Of course, all the big distributions have hardware compatibility lists. I know Red Hat does, SUSE, probably Mandrake.
I like Mandrake, yeah.
I've never used it, so I don't know.
Dude, you gotta tolerance. You have to learn tolerance.
Right,
that's all.
Right, because, you know, and I think we need to get, like, flipping away to make a picture saying United We Stand and have, like, FreeBSD and the Linux Penguin tucked together.
I like that a lot.
And
have, like, United We Stand.
Shaking hands.
Pulling a little flag or something.
Like in the background, yeah.
Or, like a mocking of the United We Stand.
Aww.
Like
that. That'll happen around never.
Company marketing kind of thing.
Yeah.
We want to go with the flow and put on our posters, United We Stand.
I wish, you know what, I want Slippin' Away to come back on the show. He was a really good interview.
Yeah, he was interesting, unlike us. No, I'm joking.
He's very interesting.
Yes, definitely. I want Scott to come back, too.
We went to a store at Fry's, and we saw the United States support mouse, USA mouse thing.
Oh, no.
Fry's has no problem with anything like that. I mean, after September 11th, sometime in October, they have a whole big old display of gas masks. You know, they're not one to miss a marketing opportunity.
Actually, at work, we got this little weird toy, and it's like, after September 11th, a lot of people got these little T-shirts of little eagles sharpening their claws. You know, we're gonna go blow up, you know, Afghanistan. Yay, vengeance is ours. And so I found this action figure of, like, the same little eagle. You know, it's like it's an eagle with on testosterone. That thing disturbed me. God.
Yeah, I think what we're getting at, listeners, is that believe me, we love this country, but I think that all the patriotism after 9/11 was a little hollow, was a little bandwagonish. You know, you go to strip clubs and it says Jell-O wrestling on Tuesdays. You know,
yes, this is great. There was this strip joint in our town. It said United We Stand, Jell-O wrestling Thursday.
That's right. You know,
and we stand and Jell-O we fall down.
That's right. You know, and sure enough, so we got this hollow patriotism. We've got corporations. We've got people in the government using 9/11 to their advantage.
I think Condor, you're actually saying that's a bit like a Red Scare nowadays, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is, because, you know, these Israeli Palestinian people, they're terrorists. So they're calling the United States, hey, United States, they're terrorists. Help us take down the terrorists. And
it's all propaganda, folks. It's been around for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years. We just can disseminate a lot more quickly with the media, with the... Hell, with the internet, too. I mean, that's like any other tool. We talked about this before, folks. With any other tool, it's how you use it. Again, an airplane is a wonderful tool, you know, for transportation. We all saw on September 11th that it can be a deadly tool as well. It depends on the intentions and the use of the people behind it.
I give it 2 decades before a terrorist becomes, like, the next form of insult. You terrorist!
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I'll plug it in your paper, like, the Red Scare, the modern-day Red Scare, terrorism.
Boy, I don't know if you'd get an A or an F, you know what?
Right.
I'd love to see that, though.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to close out this. I don't know how it I don't know how it got so deep so fast, but I'm going to close it out by easily referring to page 5 in the latest 2600 Time to Care. Read it. Right. Understand it.
I'm long to go. Stay final.
Perfect timing, Condor. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck in your finals, man.
Later.
Late.
Bye.
Duel, as we're closing out here, got to set up the song you're going to play at the end there.
Oh, yeah. You found this, Rax, and I'm glad you did. Went to, you're using the new OpenBSD, is that correct?
Actually, I was getting the download. I'm using FreeBSD, but yeah, OpenBSD 3.1. So I'm going and clicking and doing the downloads and that, and I see this directory called Songs. Well, I said, okay, that's kind of interesting. And didn't say much what it was. It was Song 3.0, Song 3.1, .mp3, and .ogg. So I downloaded them, and, you know, I played Song 3.0 first, and it was kind of cool. And then there's, like, this massive, heavy, industrial, you know, sounds like it's a German kind of throbbing.
Rammstein.
It says,
yes, Rammstein. I love Rammstein.
And it's well, you'll hear it at the end of the show, folks. But definitely, definitely worth picking up. I got to find out what the story is behind those things. But
yeah,
definitely some very heavy, inspirational music for your late night hacking and kernel tweaking pleasure.
Very creative. Very creative. You know what? I'm going to make a couple phone calls where we go, because I need to. I must. It is what I do. First, I'm going to call AT&T's reach-out number. This is for that unlimited plan. I'm going to ask him some very poignant questions. Hold on a second, Rax. The number is 1-800-REACH-OUT. 1-800-R... Hold on. R-E-A-C-H... I'm getting better. O-U-T. All right, Rax, we're calling 1-800-REACH-OUT.
AT&T. Thank you for calling regarding our AT&T Unlimited Plan offer. This revolutionary consumer offer features unlimited long-distance calling to over 50 million people. Are you calling in regards to 5-0-5?
All right, that was productive.
Wow, maybe I should have... maybe I should have not used... Oh, let's see if it's still there.
Did not receive a response. Are you calling in regards to... If yes, press or say 1. Please hold while I connect you to the next...
Maybe I should have opt-diverted through AT&T to AT&T.
Is your real name. Yeah.
We're actually there? All right.
Thank you for calling AT&T. My name is Yara Lawson. To better assist you, can I please have your telephone number starting with an area code?
Sure, it is 203-505-9707.
Sir, just to verify the number one more time, that's 203-505-9707.
Sure.
Okay, and sir, you're a current AT&T customer?
Yes, I am, actually.
With that number?
Yeah, well, actually, it's kind of... actually, I just want to ask a couple of questions.
Okay, sir, before I do go on, I would like to say that AT&T does appreciate your call today. How can I assist you?
Well, I'm interested in the AT&T Unlimited plan. Now, what do I have to do? What are the... I just guessing, wild guess here, that there are going to be some prerequisites to this 1995 Unlimited Long Distance, and what are they?
Okay, the only thing is that for your plan to be unlimited, you will need to call another person, which is also an AT&T customer.
Okay.
If they're not an AT&T customer, or if you're calling a business or internet service, it has a permanent rate of 7 cents a minute.
7 cents. Okay, that's not bad. Now, can I have somebody else as my local toll carrier?
It's your choice who carries your local tolls.
It is my choice.
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so, if I may, I have to call another AT&T person to get the unlimited plan. If not, it's 7 cents a minute, and that's any time, day or night, weekends?
Correct.
Weekdays? Okay.
4 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Okay, and is there any way I'm going to, you know that I'm calling another AT&T customer? I mean, what if I'm, you know, calling somebody for the first time? You know, is there going to be some way that, you know, the phone will tell me that I'm getting the unlimited rate?
Yes, sir. When you call from an AT&T customer, you're going to hear a sparkle tone that says AT&T. That will let you know if they are an AT&T customer or if they're not. Because if you call somebody and you don't hear the sparkle tone, that will mean that they're not an AT&T customer.
Oh, is there any way I could hear that tone?
I have no way of showing you right. Really.
Okay. I'd love to hear it. Well, I can't thank you enough for your help. And I'm definitely going to consider that.
Hey, sir, is there anything else that I could do for you today?
No, ma'am.
And once again, thank you for calling AT&T.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
She just grabbed me by your balls there for the first...
Rax.
The sparkle tone.
Sparkle tone.
AT&T.
Now, apparently I was wrong. I guess you can choose your own local toll carrier. Man, I want to hear that tone. You know what? I just want to hear that tone and play it like...
No, I'm trying to think, like... No.
Speak up.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
I've heard you play that whenever you dial AT&T in order to get to another
No, I think, well, see, what I've read is they play that regular tone, like when I just called. They play that little, you know, AT&T, but then there's another tone that tells you it's a special call.
Seriously? I think it would be exactly, I think it would sound just like that one.
No, because I don't have that plan, so it's got to be some different
tone.
Yeah, it's got to be a different, yeah, that's right, a sparkle tone. Okay, next call. We talked about telemarketers earlier using the geo-notified data. You know, they probably got it, and they used my number. They called me, and I used *69, of course, thinking it would be futile. But I got an 800 number, and we're going to call him right now. Be right back, Rex. I'm going to Optivert this time. I should Optivert last time. Always Optivert. You know what? By default, Optivert. Oh, crap. I lost my place. There we go.
Offer me this offer, huh?
That's
huh?
Right.
Little punk.
I'm going to return the favor. Rex, you there?
As you call, please dial the number that you are calling. Thank you for using AT&T.
This is the Zentel Customer Care Center. The number you have called is being processed by our automated attendant. Chances are that you are calling this number because of its display on your caller ID phone. The reason for our call was to ask for information and your support for one of the many community groups we work for. We're sorry we were unable to ask for your assistance when we called. If you wish to talk to one of our customer care agents, you will need to call us back at 1.
Ow!
Are you okay?
Oh, man. There was a horrible accident. Called you. Call reverse 911. There was a horrible accident. Yeah. Oh, my God. Reverse 911, quick. Geo notify. Hold on. I'm going to call those bastards again. All right, Rax, you still there? Rax! Rax!
You killed Rex.
Oh, my God, I lost everybody. This is horrible. Oh, man. This is a horrible, horrible accident. Rex, no one's there. Rex.
Revenge of the telemarketers.
We're here.
There, right on.
There was a horrible accident in the studio. My arm is hanging on.
Yeah, so this one. Yeah, we look here for you here.
Ah,
there you go.
We're going to call that number again.
Another fun-filled day.
That's right. Radio Freak America 13. Fun-filled hacking freak action.
To place a call. Ring AT&T.
All right, Rax, here we go.
This is the Zentel Customer Care Center.
I heard all this.
All is being processed by our automated attendant. Chances are that you are calling this number because of its display.
Zentel, maybe they're Buddhist.
Reason for our call was to ask for information and your support for one of the many community groups.
That was just bad.
We're sorry we were unable to ask for your assistance when we called. If you wish to talk to one of our customer care agents, you will need to call us back at 1-800-268-7371.
Oh, I missed it.
This has caused you any inconvenience.
Repeat it. Watch,
I don't want to write that number down. I missed it.
So repeat it. Watch.
I'm not calling it again.
Oh, fine.
Hold it on your own time. The listeners don't want to hear it the third time.
I'm not. That's what I
think it was
that's
like
268-0771. I guess we're not kidding anybody. I wanted to berate somebody. Hold on.
If it's the wrong number, I apologize.
Who cares? This will be fun. You there, Rex?
AT&T. To place. Thank you for using AT&T.
Okay, the first number was 800-470-2875. And that number is a busy signal, so this went nowhere. But that's okay. That's what it's all about.
I'm gonna give a fake.
And it won't hang up!
You know,
All right, Rex.
Well, that was really cool and entertaining.
That it was all—it's all because of that accident, that horrible, horrible accident in the studio.
Anyway.
No, this is a crank. Come on, this is a little cramp. I mean, I got like I got like three monitors on this table, a fax machine, my homemade phone switch,
you jerk
a box,
the phone
an external CD writer, a keyboard, a mouse, a handset, a Bookstar assistant manager name badge.
And a female action figure.
And an action figure, that's right. It's not a doll, it's an action figure. She's scantily clad. So accidents are bound to happen. Put it down. Okay.
Back away from the action figure.
That's right. Back off the naked chick action figure.
She's not naked.
She's damn close.
Will be when Duel's done with
it. That's right. I'll take those little plastic clothes off. All right, listeners. Oh, thank God Reverse 911's around. Oh, yeah, and I also have a 802.11b adapters on this table. It's cramped in here. I actually took a couple computers out of here. Ooh, next week, I want to talk, you know what, I'm going to give a heads up on next week's show. Next week's show, I'm going to talk about, it's going to be a freak special. I'm going to talk about a freak toolkit and or freak boxes. And, oh, what was the other thing I was going to do?
I want to do a Star Wars special.
No, it's overdone.
It's working! It's working!
Star Wars Attack of the Phones. All right, this was Radio
Show Attack of the Phones.
Attack of the Phones. Hey, you two are smart. Next week, Attack of the Phones.
Yes, yes.
Attack of the Phones, the freak special. We're going to have, it's going to be a freak extravaganza. So, on Dual Parallel, Be the Media, this has been Radio Freak America 13 Racks.
Knowledge free.
Mary Chan.
I think my phone's ringing.
Her phone is ringing. The phones are attacking now.
That's the song 3-1.
That's right. 3-1, here it is, late.